Oh, dude.
I know. All right. Here we go. We're doing this. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Derek Hollerbach. With me, Chris Fremen.
C-Free. Dude, let's just clear this up.
Stage name.
C-Free is my name.
All right.
C, the letter, space, free. Let's just clear this up. Right, stop calling me by my Facebook name.
Should I start over?
No, this is the great C-Free. Beginning. This is the perfect beginning.
So I was on your podcast very recently, DJ Tandem and C-Free show, you know, talking about some black magic.
The C-Free and DJ Tandem show.
All right, you're first. You're first. Wow. All right. So this is episode 137 of Highway Diary. What's going on? We're driving to Covington, Louisiana to do Corey Mack's show at the Rock and Blues on Thursday at 9. We're going to... Wow, we just entered the Pontchartrain Bridge. We're en route. What's going on? We're talking about some black magic stuff. We're talking about David Icke. David Icke seems to think that the British royal family, they're all lizards. You know, he thinks that Bush and Barbara Bush, they're lizards. And you were going in on
okay, but here's what's real, though. It's absolutely... So, whenever there's a crazy conspiracy thing that people say, it's like shit Republicans say if it's true. People don't listen just because they're Republicans. Like, even if the Republican's right, like, nobody's trying to hear that shit. But conspiracy theorists and Republicans, they go together. Where it's like... There'll be some wild shit that someone will say, but then there'll be a part connected to it that's actually true. That's right. History. Like, the British royal family used to eat people for fun. That was normal. Like, that's what they would do for fun. Like, that shit in Fallout 3 where the dude is you can sense if your perception is high enough, you put enough points of perception, you can sense that he's a people eater, and he's like, hey, you want to come to the people eater club? They really had that shit in... like, Google it, in the fucking British royal family.
And if you're the king of a castle, like, you could just organize, like, a human hunting party and, like, have foxes chase, like, 8-year-old kids in the woods. You just give them loincloths and shoot them with bows and arrows. You know why? You're the fucking king.
Dude, how many people were getting beat up by cops before phone cameras, all
right? Right.
And imagine it's 1,200.
Right.
And there's not even, like, loud enough voices to go very far. Like, there's nothing. Of course they eat people. You just snatch a couple of poor people and nobody.
Right. And then it's just like, oh, we're very powerful. Pass me the migrant brain. This is my life now. I really think that when you grow up overprivileged, when you have such a disconnect, you never cook your own meals, you never make your own money, you just sit around and go, you over there, do that, you over there, do that. You lose touch so deeply that that's why I think, like, why would the British royal family get into Freemasonry? Why would they get into the occult? Well, because they really have not accomplished anything. Like, they were just born, and they literally did nothing to get there. So then they want to be a fucking wizard. You know, then they want to be magic or something. And I think they fall into these weird cults, and who knows if anything's true. But they're certainly putting a lot of energy and money into maintaining something.
Wait, Nero was the guy who burned Rome, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, what they said, I read in a book once about Nero, was that... He forced the priests of the mystery schools. He forced, like, the super adept monks with the levitation powers and the dudes who were real good at astral projecting and, like, real wise and peaceful and happy and childlike. Like, these dudes in their society, like, he forced them to initiate him into the mysteries and to, like, teach him all the meditation techniques and put him through the rituals to open his third eye, and if there was drugs, give him the drugs, you know, like. And so they say Nero went crazy and started thinking he was God because he got into this weird occult shit, and then he freaked out and burned up Rome. So it makes you wonder.
So, like, he went from, like, 0 to 70. He was like, okay, now I'm the king of the spotted owls. Now I'm the top mason. Now I'm an OTO, high level. Now I'm a powerful Scientologist. I've learned everything.
I read Aleister Crowley. Did you understand the words of Crowley? Crowley was the man. I speak of magic, and magic is the speaking, and the speaking is the word. And like Jesus said, it was the word of Crowley, Anity. Like, isn't that how fucking every Crowley thing is? Fucking most overrated, like, Aleister Crowley is like the Kanye West of the occult. Like,
yeah.
Most overrated motherfucker. I'm sorry if that hurts you. Are you big Crowley?
I don't know.
Are you in a closet?
I can't read it. It sounds like a legal document of, and it's like, oh, this guy was on heroin.
I understand the plan, and the plan was the juice, and the juice was the juice of life, and the word of God was the word of God, and it was Jesus and the Christ and the fucking of the Mary's ear hole. Like,
yeah. Thanks for the ear beating, Crowley. You know?
Aleister Crowley sucks.
He does suck. But it's like fuck, he was Aleister a rampant pedophile, and he would drink blood and all this stuff.
Real racist, and killed animals for fun, and all his, like, half his girlfriends killed themselves, and all of them ended up dope fiends, like,
yeah.
in the early, what was it, early 1900s, or,
yeah.
like...
Yeah, he was rocking, like, 1850.
Oh, man. And then there's this whole weird thing out there on the internet that's like, no, Crowley was, like, this spiritual guy, do what thou will, it's all been misunderstood, and he was really, like, bringing meditation... Like, and I've never understood that, because I was like, wait, is all this shit not true then? Like, yeah. They don't have that many fake details about Michael Jackson. Like, if Michael Jackson was innocent, there's a shitload of more detail, like, more details about shit Aleister Crowley did that was fucked up.
I heard this phone call that got released, this weird guy that said that Michael Jackson was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, right before... he was murdered, like, the day before, he called the 911 or something, was saying, people are gonna kill me, I don't know if it's gonna be poison or a bullet or this or that, like, the day before, the night before.
I don't know if I should tell you this, but I don't know who may be listening. There may be a group of people, they want to get rid of me, they don't want me here anymore.
I don't understand. What do you mean? Talk to me.
I can't talk about it. Over the phone. I don't know. It's going to happen. But I just feel in my soul. Only God knows. They could shoot me. They could stab me. They could frame me. And say I will reduce the drugs.
Who could do these things?
It's not the government. It's more than the government. But I don't know, Tigger. I don't care. They can kill me. I don't even care my life anymore. I just want my children to be okay.
And then you look at the method of how he was killed, and they were like, oh, well, he was using a, like, surgical, like, general anesthesia
right.
to go to sleep at night. And it's like, well, that's not what doctor would ever say. Oh, yeah, you're having trouble going to sleep. Here's general anesthesia. Like, what? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. You know what I mean? Not a Tylenol PM. Like, he's like, we'll inject you with, like, you know, surgical ether.
You ever been under, like, general anesthesia?
What? Yes, I have been.
Yeah, right? It's so high, it's not fun at all.
Yeah. But it's like, I've had my wisdom teeth pulled, yeah, so I had it for that. I've had surgery in my hand. It's no fucking joke.
Awful, dude.
And what, are you going to have that administered every night? Like, your body can't handle that.
Yeah.
I don't care how much of a dope fiend you are. You can't handle general anesthesia every night to go to sleep. It makes no sense.
Well, you know what? We might as well say it. You know what the conspiracy thing is with Michael Jackson? Is that...
Well, his album sales went up when they're like, hey, here's his death album or whatever. Then people sell Jackson t-shirts. Well, it kind of booms a dying...
Yeah, but at some point, we all got to wise up and realize it's not about money. Because... if you wanted to make positive art sell like a motherfucker, you really, really could. It wouldn't have to all be positive, but you could do it, man. You could keep people alive and And you don't need to kill them to make money off of them. They'll make a lot more money for you if they just keep living and being famous, like you two or somebody like that.
Right.
So it's like, it's not about money with some people. I think it's the elites, that is. I think it's really more about control, and it's an emotional thing. It's more like, I want to feel this way that's really extreme and archaic. I want to feel like a dictator. I want to feel like a king. I want to feel like a god. You know, like...
Yeah, because Michael Jackson did make it in his contract where he owned a huge percentage of Sony. And if you're the other owning the other percent, you're like, oh, wait, if we kill him, then we get that percent back? Fuck him. Like, is it that? Just because they can and they'll get away with it? Like, the you know, British royals in the 1200 having human hunting parties and eating humans because they can? Because it's a game to them? A Game of Thrones?
You know? Or it's more like a weird ritual.
Right.
The killing of him was a lifelong thing.
Like, one of them became like a 33rd degree after killing the king of pop.
Like, not like he was a sacrifice that they didn't kill. He was something that they vampirically fed off.
Yeah, they fed off his creative energy.
That's why he was so crazy.
Yeah.
Nah, but I'm saying this. People sitting in a room sacrificing a goat, doing a weird ritual to suck fucking Michael Jackson's life chi. Is what I imagine.
I mean, his life cheat really is his money. I mean, if it's just reduced to money, like, that
it's
makes
a metaphor
sense.
Too, but it's not yeah. just a metaphor. Like, they gave him anesthesia, you know?
Just yeah. saying. It makes no sense. Like, and then the one doctor takes the fall for it because he was using his medical license to. You know, they made it look like, oh, he's just using his medical license to give a drug addict drugs.
Yeah.
So that's unethical. You've broken the Hippocratic Oath, but what he was giving him makes no sense. And then you combine that with the phone call, and, you know, Janet Jackson's always like, no, they killed him. They killed him. You know, she maintains that to this day.
Right.
So, you know, I think they killed him. I don't know.
I do, too.
Anyway.
Well, why? What's the point?
I don't know. Like, look at Robin Williams. Like, after he died, then all of a sudden, like, people start buying Hook again. I don't know what other motivation there is. People start buying all of his movies again on DVD because, like, it seems like the film industry's kind of fucked. You know, nobody's going up to the movies anymore. Nobody's going out anymore to... nobody's buying DVDs anymore. You either steal it or get it on Netflix. Why would you spend $20 for one movie when for like $8 a month you can have almost every movie ever on Netflix streaming when you want to watch it? So why would you ever buy a DVD? It makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't really watch movies. I'm weird. Yeah. I watch a movie once in a while. I just got done watching Band of Brothers.
That's good.
You ever seen that?
Yeah.
That's the best thing ever. It's like The Wire of war shows.
Yeah.
The Wire, there's The Wire, there's Band of Brothers, and there's, to me, there's Star Trek Deep Space Nine. That's the ones. Those are the fucking shows right there.
From there, you can let us infer how to live your life.
Yes, you fucking can, man. Like, there's no more. I work all day, okay, homie. Don't be afraid, homie, help is on the way. Homie, got karma that's hard to pay, but we gotta pay. Homie, say what I say, homie, so it don't weigh on me. I'll work all day, okay, homie. So when I'm all alone, feeling anxious in my ride, worry about bills and shit, I just remember I'm gonna die. Pay attention, this really works if you try.
Does the government want people to disbelieve the Warren Commission? No, they put out the Warren Commission because they're like, here's how JFK was assassinated by one dude. Here's a book that ignores a lot of things. So, fuck you. Like, they don't want you to know. And if you do find out, that is a direct threat to the empire, I feel.
All right, so let me give you an example. I agree with you 4 years ago. Like, I really do. And I'm not disagreeing with you now. I'm only saying I'm beyond certainty with these things because I recognize the perfection of the propaganda state. The propaganda state is so perfect right now, we can't even see it. Right. We like it. You know, it's like in 1984, the telescreen was something that was feared and hated. Really, we love the telescreen. We're obsessed with the telescreen. Whenever the telescreen isn't around, we get antsy and we want to look at it. When we get nervous, we take out our little telescreen and look at that bitch and just touch it and rub it and try to connect to life through it. And so it's even better than that, you know? Like, somebody's got to write a new 1984, by the way, because, you know, fucking, there's a lot of, Matrix was close.
Updates.
Yeah, yeah. Matrix was close. I agree with you. Like, I'm very familiar with all the evidence with 9/11. Very familiar with that. It's like UFOs, although it's much more convincing than UFOs. Right. I'll give you that. But all I'm saying is that I believe the government, if they genuinely wanted to make it look like terrorists did it, they could have done a much better job, especially with the whole Pentagon mess, where there's a lot of weirdness with the Pentagon. It doesn't make any sense. I believe that the special ops forces and shit, the elite intelligence forces and all this black ops shit goes on at the top levels, I think they're more efficient than that. Like, I think if they wanted to get away with 9/11 looking real, they could have. I think they intentionally didn't, if they did it. And it might have been something else entirely that none of us know about. That's my X. I don't know what X is, but I'm just open to X. There's this whole other thing. I don't know what it is, because I can't understand the motivation.
There's this weird, there's a woman called Dr. Judy Wood, and she put out a book that says that the Twin Towers were not controlled demolition, but there was like a particle beam came down and like and sublimated them like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. So she's saying that they, like, a beam came down and like just dissipated the metal by like pulsing a anti-metal, you know, beam at it, which just sublimated it, which means that it went from a solid to a gas via particle beam. And this lady, Dr. Judy Wood, is like a doc. She's got two doctorates, but she might be completely
But crazy. Hey, that's what I'm saying, though, dude. Like, I don't buy the propaganda, and then I don't buy the propaganda for smart people, because that's what a lot of conspiracy theories are.
Right.
They're propaganda for smart people. Like, it's like, you're right. You see through Republicans and Democrats. You see they're both just the warmonger party who likes to steal and hates the poor in their own special way. Like, yeah, wow, you figured out Republicans and Democrats are both evil. Great job. Okay, now where do we go from there? Okay, 9/11 might have been an inside job. Okay, that's great, but the government also seems to me to have wanted us to think that that's the case. So that's just another level of propaganda. So then what the fuck? Where's X? What is the real reason? Is it like it's just simple mind control? It's just propaganda. It's just what you have to do to control the population. But why would I don't understand why you want to do that? Also, I don't get that part of it.
It's also like the military industrial complex grew to such a level where now it's like they're just going around robbing, and then they have every now and then a false flag event, like a false terrorist attack, to keep their and now they're going, oh, ISIS, well, they're beheading people, so now, and it's like as soon as they didn't get their way into Chuck Hagel's like, hey, let's go into Syria, and everyone's like, fuck no, and then he's like, okay, ISIS, what about these guys, you know? And so it's just like a fucking endless thing of fake boogeymen, so that we have to, instead of paying for Americans' college education, instead of paying for Americans' health care, we always have to send, vampirize our labor for this perpetual boondoggle of war machines. You know, I saw this thing that Halliburton has it so wired where, like, a convoy of trucks will be driving down the desert. One of them will pop the tire, so they'll pull it over and blow up the fucking truck so that Halliburton can charge the American government, you know, $500,000 to make another truck.
Right.
Why? Because why fix a tire when that's an opportunity, to make $500,000, right?
But you know how broken people have to be to do shit like that?
Yeah, and so what is that about? Is that, have they been, are they reptiles? Is that how
broken
they are?
That's what I mean. We're getting back to where we started. Like, how broken do you have to be to make Halliburton and be like, this is how we're going to make money in capitalism? Do you know why I get my ideas about capitalism all come from Buddhism? People don't know this, but, like, there's a whole part of Buddhism that relates to money and trade and shit. And Buddha was very popular with merchants. Like, that's how the monks subsisted. That's how the monks got started, is they were rich people, gave them a lot of money in a lot of cases and helped them out. And it's because a monk would come up to you and you'd have a problem. You'd be a trader. You're busy. You know, you got stress. You got a lot of, like, stuff going on in your life. And this monk is like, oh, talk to me about it. I ain't got shit to do. I'm a monk. All I do is be perfect all day. Right. So now you're sitting here, you're chatting with this perfect guy, and he helps you get this shit straightened out. He really gives you, he's like, oh, well, this, and this. He says, you got to breathe like this. And you get this great benefit from it. And so there was this whole part of it where trade is supposed to be an alternative to war. So the whole reason that you have an economy and money at all, and like buying goods and making things and capitalism in that simple way, or trade, is like, so we don't fight over resources. So right. We don't battle each other. So we don't have a war. Like, that's why it's so weird. Like, and like, why don't you understand that blowing shit up costs more always? Like, it doesn't matter if you made $5 off a blown up thing. You're creating a culture of destruction, which is making the whole world poorer.
Right.
So you have to be so broken to act like that. Like, it so doesn't make sense. You know you're Halliburton. You know you're making the world worse. What? I don't... That's X. You see what I mean? That's X. I don't know. I don't get that. That doesn't compute at all in my head.
It's just war criminals, you know? They're just... They don't care. They think that they're gods. Like, how many occult traditions has Dick Cheney been initiated into? Probably everyone. The dark ones. He's like, yeah, I'll eat a fucking baby. Yeah, I'll fucking stick my finger up a cat's ass and, you know?
That shit works,
man. He'll do anything.
It works, man. You draw a circle on the fucking floor.
Yeah.
You get the right sigils and shit. You dress up. You put a hood on. You light candles in the right shape, and you get in the right state of mind, man. Stuff will happen to you, dude. It's not a joke. Like, and I can imagine if you were doing some darkness, like killing something, that it would really work. Because one time, I used to do this thing where I would meditate in the car, and I would zone out and become one with the car and the road and shit. And one time I accidentally killed an animal when I was doing that. And I swear to God, right when I ran over that animal, I felt its soul come out of its fucking body and give me power. And
you
should have gone
on a rampage then.
No, I was like, that's the worst power there is. That was the other immediate thought. It was like my conscience told me that is the worst fucking power there is. Like, it's like, because I was in this meditative sort of state and I killed something. It's right. Like, I could feel... You know, because if you were doing a ritual where you sacrifice some shit, that's what you would be doing. You'd be in, like, a meditative state, and then you'd kill a goat. And I can feel how that's a real thing that people can do. You know, like, that was like a drug. That was like that time I tried Oxy. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, that was like, whoa. That was like, oh, because all I ever did was smoke weed. I barely drink. So when I tried a hard drug, it was like, the only thing I can compare it to, when I killed that thing in that meditative state and I felt his soul, only thing I can compare it to is like when I tried hard drugs for the first time and really the last time. But yeah, both experiences were like that. I can say that. Fuck. Telling ghost stories and shit.
Ghost stories.
Dude. This is great.
Yeah. So you
just rewind all that, honestly. Just rewind all of that and do it again.
So you started another psychedelic journey recently, and that's doing comedy, you know? You've been you've been at it for a couple months now. Your background is being a rapper.
Yeah.
So do you feel like there's a power to comedy? Is there a Doc Ott of yes anding?
Yes, no, definitely. I'm going to tell you what I love is I really like... Very funny talk radio. Mm-hmm. And I feel like very funny talk radio comes out of comedy. Like, a lot of it's done by comedians and influenced by comedians.
Like Jim Norton on Opie and Anthony.
Yeah, that was my heroes.
Louis C.K., they have David Tell on.
Well, and even in the podcast culture, man, like Monday morning podcast, you know.
Bill Burr.
Makes you want to do a podcast, shows like that for me. Stand-up comedy is like kind of a perfect thing in that... It's just you talking. So you really have no right. you really have no, you're not even up there with like a demonstrable skill, like a guitar or a piano or anything. All the only notes you can play is like a laugh. You can make people laugh. And if it doesn't work, obviously it's either the wrong room, it's not the right jokes for the right people, or it sucks, or it's not funny. Right. It's like,
it's very clear in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, you sucked, and that's what happened.
But here's the thing, I'm a rapper. A lot of rappers are complete losers and antisocial douches, and they fucking don't care about how the sound is at their shows, about how audible they are as lyrically at the live event. When I perform rap, it's like I turn the beat down so you can hear all the words I say. And if people aren't paying attention, it annoys me. Like, it bothers me if people aren't actually enjoying it enough to listen. Because when I rap, it's so intense that it's like you kind of have to pay attention, and it's meant to sort of take you on a journey. And, like, so when I started doing comedy, this concept of bombing was deeply familiar already. It was like, oh, all right. I know what this is. This is basically you're bored, yes, or you're not bored. Like, okay, there's really just being boring, and then there's not being boring.
Right.
And it's definitely like rapping for me is very similar in a lot of ways, but not, you know, I didn't do like rap like a very typical way. I tried to do it like the pros do. I'm trying to do it like my heroes do it.
How did you start? What was different about the way you started?
I don't know. Just what I do is I rap kind of like a gangster rapper, but not in any kind of fake way. Like, I don't talk about doing any gangster shit. I basically talk about esoteric things and conspiracies and all this kind of stuff I've been chatting about on this podcast. Like, I rap about that, but how Jay-Z would, you know, like on his best day, like on a really lyrical, psychedelic Jay-Z day. He raps about Rosicrucianism for a couple verses, or Buddhism, or, you know, something like that. So it's like, that was always my whole thing, is I wanted to steal forms from things. I like to take the form. I like to steal from everything good that I like. Yeah. I like to find stuff that I love and then obsess over it and then steal its form, basically, like an energy vampire. But you don't steal content, because that's the soul. That's when you're taking somebody's spirit. You're taking something that's not yours. But it's like the etheric, the chi body, the aura,
right,
the fucking energy. You can borrow any of that. That's welcome.
That's like jazz. It's like, a lot of jazz sounds the same, but you, Charlie Mingus does it like this. This guy does it like this.
Yeah.
Or just like comics. A lot of comics kind of sound the same, but if you're doing different jokes, but you're kind of using someone else's personality, that's also... You know, there's a lot of gray area. But, I mean, if you're around a lot of comics that you like and respect, then you're gonna, I don't know, it's...
Like, you don't have to say, like, do you ever see comics and you just notice immediately what comedian they're copying off of?
Yeah, of course.
Right? And it's kind of, like, sad because you feel...
Oh, that's Dave Attell, that's Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, right? You feel like, if you don't know that man, I feel bad for you, like... Like, I realized I was copying off of Patrice O'Neal right away. Like, I realized, like, my first set, I was like, stop doing Patrice's voice. Stop doing his fucking inflection. Like, part of it is that I actually talk in a semi, like, a way that at times the turn of phrase sounds similar. But, like, that's part of why I love him so much. But, like, there was a moment when I realized I was ripping off his voice and his timing. And I was like, stop. Fucking, if you do it again, I'll murder you. I'll kill you.
You
to
said
death.
That to yourself?
In the mirror. While
While you were beating off and screaming?
Yeah. We're touching both sides. Back in front.
All right, well, we've arrived at the Rock and Blues. We're going to perform the show and then see you on the flip side. See you guys on the ride home. Later.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall we had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war. One can combine other means of pressure with sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure. I mean, look, people, Iranian submarines periodically go down. Someday one of them might not come up. Who would know why? We can do a variety of things if we wish to increase the pressure. I'm not advocating that. But I'm just suggesting that this is not a either-or proposition. It's just sanctions has to succeed or other things. We are in the game of using covert means against the Iranians. We could get nastier at that.
So wait. We're coming back. The show just happened. We're a little fired up. What happened?
It's awesome because I love Eric. Eric made me come to this mic in Cummington. Because how am I going to turn down the seasoned comedian? I just started out in this, like, seasoned comedian. He's, like, befriended me. And how am I going to turn him down when he says, hey, let's go do this mic in Covington? I'm not going to do that. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to be like, of course I'm going with you to do that, dude. You're taking me under your wing a little bit. You're like, oh, here's some knowledge, guy. I'm not going to fucking disrespect my first comedy friend. So here's the thing. That black dude, so I made a joke about Ahmed, right? The fucking Arab who got busted at school. He brought a clock to school and everybody thought it was a bomb. And I basically said that it was, you know, it's racism because he was a really white Arab. Like, he wasn't a very Arab-y Arab. I should have said it like that, I guess. But I basically said, like, you know how you have a black friend and you have one black friend who dresses like a drug dealer and then you have another black friend who doesn't and you kind of worry about your black friend dressed like a drug dealer? Whatever, it doesn't matter. It wasn't that good. I just thought of it and tried it. But this comedian, this guy who came after me, he took a fucking offense at that shit. And he basically said that I'm bullshitting and I don't have any black friends. And, like, what I realized is that him and his boys always kill in this room. Like, they're from Mandeville or Covington.
Right.
And they probably feel kind of, like, excluded because they're not from New Orleans. And they probably grew up around white people. And, like, that's why they were so good at cracking up that group of old white dudes in a room. Like, it was four old white people, basically, at the beginning. And there were these three dudes. And the guy who got mad at me was adept. These guys were prepared for that room, man. They've been in that room a bunch of times. They knew what was funny in that room. And basically, what I'm saying is he's really kind of jealous of how many black friends I have, because I probably have more than him, because he's probably a country fucking motherfucker.
How are you getting that from? Because it's like three black people showed up, so, I mean, I don't know.
That's it. That's, they all live over here.
That's the whole crew.
That's their whole crew, and you're mad because I live in New Orleans and I have a little bit of soul. I'm sorry, buddy. I just grew up in Gentilly. It's not my fault.
Well, I just fucking bombed worse than I've ever bombed before.
You did not bomb,
because I talked about God. I was talking shit on God.
You did not bomb.
Saying he's a cocksucker. And then it's like, wow. Wow. Well, we're not listening anyway. It's just weird. You know, I don't like when, I don't know, people, I think before me, everybody kind of blew the light like three times in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, okay, well, there's no show anymore now. Because the people who blew lights were ready for five. They did 10 or something. And then it's like, okay, well, now the audience wants to leave. So many of them did as soon as when I was walking towards the stage. And it's like, now it's,
I mean, it's cool to go up there and do the jokes you saw in Comic View. That's cool, man. Go ahead. Go up there and do the jokes you saw in Comic View. Yeah, you're funny. Not really, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everything I said was some shit that came out of my own mind, so I don't really give a fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying?
They
it's funny to
jokes.
Say that God is evil because he invented rape. That's fucking funny. Like, you know, it's cool. I've done that in front of people my age who were into that sort of thing, and they thought it was very funny. So, you don't really I'm a vampire, dude. I feed off of a crowd. Like, I can't get up in front of people who, like, don't care and don't get me and do very well. Like, I like to get better at that, but as of right now, I don't do well in front of people who don't really want me.
Right.
You know, I don't get...
They don't want to be there.
I'm not a entertainer rapist. Right. Like, I don't rape people with my entertaining. I don't just fucking... It's like they gotta... I'm a
they
dom.
They gotta meet you halfway.
I'm a fucking dom. I want, like, people to be like, oh, please give me your comedy cock right now.
Right, right.
And then I will kill. Like, I will do really well for you. But you gotta be a little bit of, like, a... You know, into it. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you are crushing me, dude. What the fuck is impreg? Is that a real thing?
Oh, impreg. That's a...
Pregnant,
you know,
men?
I found this out from my friend Alex Demoff. She did my podcast, and she was like... She just brought it up for some reason. I was talking about how, like, kids nowadays, they grow up watching all kinds of porn, you know, and she was like, oh, yeah, like, mpreg porn. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, man pregnant porn, you know.
What the fuck is that? That can't be real, dude.
It is real.
How do men get pregnant?
Well, they when you draw Ron Weasley and Harry Potter locked in a 69, you know, you got mpreg porn, you know. You could just draw pregnant men. You know, in animated porn.
So it's animated?
Yeah, of course.
So wait.
What, do you think they're inseminating babies in a real men's
ass? That's why I didn't understand. So impreg is anime that's two pregnant men fucking each other.
Exactly.
Holy shit.
What's confusing about this?
That's amazing. You know what, man? This town fucking sucks.
And it's funny because it's like, it was taking too long to say man pregnant porn, so they went impreg. Yeah, it's impreg. Like, that's much. I say it so much, it's like time consuming to say man pregnant porn.
Yep.
Impreg. Duh. That's what I'm into.
Nah, but there is an objective, isn't there? A guy who has way more comedy experience than me. There is kind of this objective reality where you're like, okay, if this was for like a mass audience, probably way more people would think you were funny then thought those dudes were funny. Because, like, those dudes were just doing Comic View. They weren't... Yeah, there was nothing original.
It was all street jokes. I don't like when I know... When I know a joke that... You know what I mean? It's not like I'm watching Def Jam all the time. But right. When it's like, I know that you didn't invent that joke, don't do it. Yeah. I don't understand what they're doing.
Dude, they're going up there to look cool on social media for the next week.
Yeah. They had, like, their one homie was just taking photographs.
It was embarrassing. It was like rappers. Rappers are the most clownish clowns ever, dude. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, not to bring it back, but, like, that dude resented my fucking streetness. My, like, my New Orleansness. My, like, actual come-from-a-city-ness. Like, he lives in a fucking forest.
In a suburb.
Dude, and he was... They were doing the fucking black guy white for a white audience act. That they were, like, just doing that. And so it worked for the four people. Like, you know, like, it was... So, like, it was so funny how bad you felt about bombing, because you were killing, but the people suck. Those people suck. That's not a real audience.
I was bombing because I was bombing. That's not a real...
They don't count,
dude.
Yeah,
it's not... It's not a real audience in the fact that that four people left right off the bat, and then everyone started talking. So, in that sense, it wasn't a real audience, but it was a real audience in the fact that, like, seven people were listening. And for those people, I sucked.
You did for me, buddy.
Kyle back. Why don't you come up here? This is Eric Holland. What's with all the niches in people's sexuality these days? So many niches and getting off, you know? I heard some woman say the other day, she's like, I'm a pansexual vegan, dumb stuff. I'm gluten-free, cuckold BDSM. What? Is that a Starbucks order or what you like in your ass? That sounds like a lot of maintenance to make you come or something. Like a cosplay cockle that's like Sonic the Hedgehog has to come in and catch you with Thunder Thor or something. And you're like, ah! You know? That's a lot of work. I started looking at mpreg porn, man pregnant porn. Wow. Animated porn, two pregnant men are just boning each other. I can't even get married anymore. I can't recreate any of that in real life. It's not real. It's a niche I found down. This is going
I don't know. I was.
You just like watching me in agony.
That was part of it, but that was only in between the funny jokes. So there was the funny jokes, and then there was you suffering and just bombing, just
hating every second of being there. I just hated being there.
But I mean, I'm being honest, man. I haven't done much, but I know now that it's huge, the audience for me. Like if I have, it's something fucking psychic, dude. If I have a feed, a need, someone, people are looking to feed on my funniness.
Yeah.
I will do very well, man. Like yeah. That is not. So it's like that was my original theory, was I'm going to see all these different mics and try to find a couple that are really well run.
And then just make your schedule and stick to those every time. Yeah.
Be great to everybody there, establish good relationships, and just build the shit up there, because a good audience is everything, it seems, for me. I don't know if there's some guys. I mean, obviously, there's like you're supposed to be able to play any room and do. I get that ideal, but I don't know. I kind of only want people who want me.
Right.
And I mean, it's not like they have to know me. It's just like, are you there to see somebody say some fucked up shit, or are you there for like kind of like a goof? Right. Like, oh, let's go see some comedy tonight, honey. Like that's you know, you're not gonna do well in there. Neither am I.
Just because it's a free show and like they're Netflix, they ran out of Netflix thing to watch.
That's all it is.
I guess I'll just go out here now.
So, like, the black guy gets up there and he starts speaking French all wrong, and they're all like, oh, look, honey, the black guy can't speak well. And, like, that's all that shit is, dude.
Yeah, they killed him.
They did kill, though, man. I mean, I don't resent them because of Buddhism. Because when you train yourself to be at least a little Buddhist, you learn how to just see shit for what it is. And, like, it's like, yeah, I'm never going to do well for those people. Like, it's cool, and that's not, I'm not mad at them, but I mean, it wasn't like it was a young, hot place where there was a bunch of fucking 20-somethings, and it's like, it was kind of a throwaway thing for a lot of people in there. So I mean, I feel like certain other gigs are going to be people who are kind of passionate about seeing a comedy show, and they're going to have a certain expectation of that same passion, and it's like, you know, but fuck it, man. Thanks for driving.
Problem. Where's my $3?
Oh, yeah, we didn't pay.
We gotta get out of this.
Gotta get out of this place. I love that you left right after. That was my favorite thing.
Like, I can't deal.
I don't want to stay.
I get so depressed when I don't do well. And so it's like I just want to be like, let's not be here anymore. But it's like it. I can't believe that it's $3 to get out of Covington. If it was $100, then I would.
I'd pay $5.
Pay it.
I'd kill someone right now.
How much to go from Covington to New Orleans?
Are you crossing a tag only?
No.
Oh, yeah. Tag cash. Yeah, man, it ain't no big deal. It's like,
I know, but it's like I've murdered so many times it doesn't matter. But also, it's like, hello.
Thank you.
Yeah. But it's like, at the same time, it's like my whole night. You know, tonight I could have Uber drove, you know, mm-hmm. made $150, you
yeah.
know, made my rent, you know, but instead, it's like I drive.
Yeah, you probably should have done that.
To like suck.
You probably should have done
that's
that,
my
dude.
Whole night.
Yeah. That's what I mean, yeah.
No, but it's like I'll drop you off and then work a little bit. But my point is, it's like I hate when it's just like I prep and I do stuff and then when I get there, it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It takes a lot to show up places, it takes a lot to do this and that, and then you. Like, oh, no, I gotta leave it. Like, I was at the Eiffel Society before this, and Kelly Stone, who runs the La Nuit, was talking on a panel, a political panel, and I was, like, networking with rich, blue-haired people in New Orleans, society types in New Orleans, trying to tell them about my show, pitch my stuff, and then I'm like, well, I'm a performer, most importantly, so I have to practice, so I left that early. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I didn't prepare, dude. I didn't prepare for this bullshit.
Left that early. You'd be like, all right, let's go do this.
I was smoking weed and listening to Opie and Anthony until you picked me up at my house. I did not fucking prepare for coming to show. Not out of disrespect, but just because I knew that if the audience was good, they were going to think I was funny. Like, really, just, I would know right away.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I just fucking, I can't do something that's not, that doesn't matter. It's a really weird introvert quality I have where, like, and what I mean by matter is not that, oh, there's not a lot of people. Because to be honest, I'm
doing comedy so I can get more people to listen to my podcast, because I want to be big-time podcaster. So, like, the whole thing is, if there were people there and I felt like I could really connect with, you know, after my set that more people came in, but, like, I had to go first in a dreadful room. It was a great experience, great learning experience. But, like, if there was really a chance for connection for me, man, I would love that. I don't care if it's five people. I'm trying to make five fans at a time. That's not, like, a big deal. But I wasn't about to, like, stand in the mirror for this one. I did that for last night's set. Last night's set at a different place. That went really well.
Right.
And that went, shit went so well that I, like, with the same jokes. I said a lot of the same shit. And it did really, really well, man. Like, so it's I remember it. I was there. Other people were there. I've seen video of it. I know it happened. So I know it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I know my fucking man titty jokes aren't bad. I know it's actually a great fucking bit. But, like, it's,
Yeah, it is weird. It's like, it's all, like, no matter how many times you've knocked somebody else out as a boxer, like, let's say you're a boxer.
Sure.
Your record is 50-0. 100% KOs first round. Okay. Well, then it's like, okay, well, let's sign this contract. Let's do this next boxing match. No matter how many times you've done well, you could get knocked the fuck out and look ridiculously stupid any given night.
Exactly.
And one of those nights was tonight for me. I feel like, you know, waved to my family in the stands and then just got pummeled.
Yeah, dude.
You know, in front of everybody, and I hate myself now.
Oh, man, that sucks.
No,
see,
just,
I wish you were just a little more racist. I wish you were just a little more... I'm just kidding. It's not a racial thing. It's that when you're from New Orleans and you're white, sometimes you come across a country black dude and he's got a real issue. I've had it happen before, man. It was funny, and those dudes nailed because that's their room that they go to be cool in, and they fucking knew it was good. And that's all it was,
we
man.
We shouldn't be haters. Let's not be haters.
I'm hating. That's what happened. They knew the room. They knew what would do well in there, and they've done it before. All that I believe is true.
You're saying they cooned up. You're saying they cooned up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good, man. I mean, I talk about being fat. It's fine. You know, but like, it is what it is, dude. Yeah, I do sound a little too New Orleans, a little too whatever. It's cool, man.
How many,
it's not a question to me why in a club that's uptown New Orleans I do well, and in a place in Covington I didn't do that well. They don't like New Orleans. That's why they live in Covington. It's what Covington is the place that Metairie wasn't far enough away from New Orleans. So New Orleans is a real black city with some white people in it. And then around New Orleans is all the white flight to, like, Metairie and Kenner and all this shit. And then, but those areas aren't totally white enough. So then the white people have to come over to Covington and Metairie to really, they got to put a fucking body of water between them and the coloreds. You know, like, that's what this shit is, man. That's where we are.
And then those fake black people live across a bridge. Keeping those other colors out of there. So let me coon it up for these white people tonight.
Exactly. I don't give a fuck.
They don't watch Def Jam.
Fuck you, dude. I talk shit about you on a podcast. That's right.
How many episodes have you done of C-Free and DJ Tandem?
The DJ Tandem and C-Free show. The C-Free and DJ Tandem show. About 38. Nah, not that many.
Once a week?
About 25. Yeah, we do once a week.
Yeah, cool, man.
It's a funny-ass show, man. We do a bunch of bits. Like, that's the other thing, man. I got my podcast that I sit there and do every week, and then I sit back and listen. And, like, dude, I do, like, funny characters and shit. Like, I'm a funny motherfucker. I don't feel any insecurity. And I can rap. And I can write. And I, you know, it's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good on that shitty room. I'm not mad at him, but I kind of just did it for you.
Thanks, buddy. Well, we had a chance to hang out. I was hoping that Jason would join us, too, because then we can, because we're going to battle him this Sunday.
I texted him.
You know? So.
I texted him.
You guys got to.
Yeah, hopefully that'll go well. Well, actually, it's a good sign that this went kind of shitty, because.
Then you're due for a good one?
Yeah, I'm due for a good one on Sunday, man. That fucking rules.
Yeah, you got the blackballed tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's kind of false sense of security. It's like, just because you suck one night doesn't mean you can't suck every night for the rest of your life.
Nah, life is actually magic. Don't worry, bro. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's karma.
It always comes back around.
So earlier, me and DJ Tandem had a text exchange, and it went like this.
He sent me a meme that's a picture of a girl in a thong and a little kid about to swipe a credit card down her ass. And it says, he learned early in life you have to pay to play. Right? And I completely resent that message, so I responded back, fuck bitches and their cunting ways. I hope they all get beaten by a pack of Arabs, except my girl, she's cool. And then DJ Tandem says, that kid's my hero, though. And then I said, probably his mom fucks him.
I want, so the in the thing, he's just like some girls at a, like in a thong.
Yeah,
at Venice Beach. Yeah. Or whatever, and he just walks up and goes, swipe, yeah, as he can. Yeah, that kid's got balls.
Right, because it's like, we should pay for sex, and women are these things we have to...
But it wasn't like set up, like a set-up photograph. It was like a real kid doing a real thing. I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. I don't fuck paying for pussy. I hate that idea with all of my cock. And then so he said, that kid's my hero, though. And I said, his mom probably fucks him. And then he says, I hope he loves it. And I said... Yeah, I wish my mom would fuck me.
Well, that's cute.
Fuck your podcast. Holler back. I was really worried that, like, you were going to think poorly of me. Because you haven't really seen me do well yet. You've only seen me do a couple times of, like, sort of shitty audiences. And you haven't really seen me do well. So you might totally just... The only reason you have to think that I am talented at all is because you did the podcast with me. We did a really good podcast. And yeah. I know I said enough funny, good shit on that show to, like, get some cred with you that I'm actually funny.
And you're just nice. Like, if people are nice, that goes a long way. And they're like, oh, let's be friends. And then I don't feel like later you would ever talk shit or for no reason. So, like, I think that you're just, like, a straight shooter. Yeah. Like, what I, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but do you think I'm funny at all? That's the whole point.
Yes, of course. No, I did have, like I was telling you before we started recording, the podcast was fucking great that we did this past Monday. It was fucking great.
It's like that podcast that we did, you guesting on mine.
Yeah. That was a good vibe.
It's as fucking funny, dude, as I would put that shit in a contest against any comedy podcast. Like, no ego. I'm saying we worked hard on that shit to get it to be good. Like, me and Tandem really worked hard. Then we had somebody really funny like you come in, and you do really great on it and make it even better. Like, that's the only cred I have with you right now, because you've seen me bomb twice. So now...
But I'm not stupid. I know the room. When I look around, I see the room that we're in. I know the circumstances. I can only have so much expectation. I feel like if I went... I think I would have done well if I went two comics earlier, when it was peaking.
Yes, possible.
As the audience, definitely. I think I would have done very well.
Definitely.
But after those four white people left in the front, I was fucked. Yeah. But anyway, but who cares? But... Yes.
it's all about those funny four
person,
white people.
And also, we've talked a lot off stage, so that I know that you're a funny person off stage.
Yeah, thanks.
And we've had conversations, and, you know, your head's in the right place. You know what this is.
Thanks, man. See, that's what I really needed from you, is a little bit of approval. So, I'm really glad. I don't have a lot of, like, you know, friends. I'm just kidding.
Like, comics friends.
I don't have any of those.
Well, you've only been doing it 2 months, and a lot of comics are very standoffish.
They're very much autistic douchebags.
What do you mean?
My new phrase I've come up with for all the comedians in this city, voluntary autistics.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck a lot of them are. They relate to, like, the fucking psychic kid who's really good with horses and can do crossword puzzles in 3 seconds is more personable than about 40% of the comedians in the city.
That's why it's like, also, if I see that you're, like, driven and talented and, like, you know, nice, you know, it's like, dude, in, like, 4 years, you could be a fucking destroyer, you know?
Oh, God,
so why wouldn't I be nice to you? Because for selfish reasons.
Right.
But also, it's just much less maintenance for me if people, I just go, yeah, we're nice to each other. And that's it. And that's it. That's all it ever is.
Also, though, I appreciate that somewhere distant in your mind is the thought that I might be really big one day and you can fucking capitalize off of that. That's a really lovely thought. I'm sure I'm one of many people you've had that thought about, but it's just, it's nice. It feels really good. It's like, that's the thing. It's the emotional honesty. That's what it is. It's like, I mean, I've been doing a podcast for 2 years.
So you hear, I mean, I know how to talk on a podcast, so it's like, once I've been doing this for 2 years, it's going to sound a lot fucking different than it did tonight, and I'll probably have jokes for those goofy motherfuckers. Like,
right.
All I had for them is like a joke about illegal immigrants, which is like, you ever think that the real reason white people are, that we're so paranoid about illegal immigrants is because they're better at us than being white people? Like, they fucking, they take care of their families, they work really hard, they love Jesus, right? And they do all these things way more fervently and for and they're just less needy than us when they do it. Like, they're better white people than us. Right?
They're like 50s white people.
That's what I'm going to steal that shit.
Yeah, Mexicans are 50s white
they're
people. 50s they
white
do Christmas.
People.
They're like their families.
Right, the Mexicans are like the, they're the fucking hot new bitch. And white people are the menopausal plain Jane. Like, that's what it is. Like, they're here to replace us as Americans, man. We're done. So I wonder if that's the paranoia. So it's like, but they probably wouldn't even like that. It's all good, man. Fuck it, man. So, yeah. Fucking 9/11. Let's get back to conspiracies. The first half of this podcast was incredible, dude.
Oh, yeah, slow that shit. Very 9/11.
I might have some weed in my bag, so slow the fuck up. Just a little bit. I'll pour it out the window if we get pulled over. Don't worry.
Man, these cops are like... I got pulled over like twice in the past 2 weeks or something. And it's just like, oh, you were going like 5 miles over the speed limit. And we pulled you over to see if you're a terrorist. Oh, Jesus. I hate cops. I hate cops. I hate robot cops that give you speeding tickets in the mail.
What's up? Where's the dislike for authority come from? Mine was this bitch, Miss Dover, in fucking middle school, who always treated me like I was in the wrong. And this is why I get a lot of my weird shit with women and black people from. Because every time I would get in a fight with a black dude or an argument with a girl, it would always be my fault.
So like, it was this, she was a black lady teacher?
No, she was white. It was like a white guilt shit, where it was like, oh, the big, tall white boy must always be incorrect in this situation.
I see.
So, like, that's why I have... But, I mean, like, you know, I still have a lot of exposure to different types of people. I just acknowledge that I have some defensive about certain things. Like, if a black dude starts giving me a hard time, I'm like, motherfucker. Or a woman just tries to do some skeezy, like, So just behind the back shit, oh, you know, he's trouble, yeah. Like, that kind of shit, it just really bothers me because of Miss Dover. But I know where it comes from. I don't let it run me. I don't let it control my life. Like, I let it rise, and I'm like, oh, that motherfucker, and I'm done. And I move on from it.
Yeah, I guess cops, it's like, if you look in society, like, what it takes to be a cop, like, what you need, like, 6 months of police academy, and then... They have, like, no law training, so they're trying to enforce the law that they don't know, and so it just always gets down to, like, don't disrespect them, because they have this authority for protecting a law that they don't know.
So what are you, a Democrat, Republican, where do you lie, usually?
Just anti-corruption. Like, I would vote
right,
for,
right,
who, like,
do you hate more, though, Republicans or Democrats?
It doesn't matter.
It's
irrelevant.
No, it's like there's people who say I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. Then there's people who say I'm not down with either one of them shits. But those people, you usually hate one group more than the other.
See, I think I hate the Republicans more because they're more outwardly ignorant. Like Sarah Palin saying her foreign policy experience is seeing Russia from her window makes no sense. You're looking out frozen
dumb
tundra,
whore.
Right? And then she was going to be the vice president. What? Like, and then that slips by. Yeah. Nobody's like, oh wait, that's the dumbest person possible, because she sees frozen tundra from her window.
Right.
She would answer a question in a presidential debate against Joe Biden that she has foreign policy experience.
Right. Right.
That's like, well, what do you? How are we gonna deal with this trade deficit with the Eskimos? I ate a snow cone. Well, that's irrelevant. Wait, why did you even say that?
Are you telling me that Republicans are shitheels? Are you telling me that? Like, did they say asinine things that piss people off?
I'm just saying I heard some of their material at a Def Jam before. I don't think that's theirs. I think those are street ignorant. jokes.
Man, you know I'm a black man, so I love fat women. Oh, you know, when you got a fat woman, you really got to... Who likes fat women?
It's all this... What I didn't like about it is... All right, give it a hand for yourself. Give it a hand for the post office. The post office. Give a hand for the post office. Yeah, we all love waiting line in the post office. What's your next joke, and why are we stalling?
Right.
Why aren't I on the stage? Because people are spending 15 seconds to clap for the post office instead of getting to what you're fucking saying that the next person can go.
Yeah,
I also hate how he's like, I'm going to get out of here. And then like 5 minutes later, he's still on stage.
Right.
Drives me crazy. Drives me crazy. I'm going to get out of here. Let me leave you with this.
The old boy who was running a mic, he hadn't really done it before.
He never flashed the light once.
And he didn't flash the light on the black dudes because the first black dude didn't listen to the light. So he thinks, because he's from fucking Covington or whatever, God bless him, he goes, oh, shit. Uh-oh, they're taking over. I'm not going to... I'm telling you, that's what happened. I'm from here, motherfucker. I know how it works.
So you think because the white guy was hosting instead of the black guy, he's like, I'm not listening to that shit. What's he going to do? He's going to be racist if he tries to get me over.
But that's why he knew I wouldn't... Like, I wasn't going to... I was going to... Like, when he talked, that one dude talked about me, I was like, go ahead, dude. I mean, like, I'm really not going to address it because the truth is... I don't want to take any of your... I don't want to take any chances on your insecurity. Like, I know you're kind of a macho dude. And the truth is, like, I'm not gonna talk to you because I don't want to make you feel any more slighted than I already have for what I've done. You know what I mean? Like, I don't trust your insecurity. I get why there was a feeling of, like, oh, I'm not flashing the light on this guy. You know, he might get aggressive or something. And maybe they were just fronting. But they were definitely acting kind of tough. Acting, being a tough guy, doing a little tough guy act. I mean, it's cool. I get it. I see it every day. I'm from New Orleans, so I see it every day. And you know what? Like, a lot of those people have been my friends, so it's cool. Like, I'm not really mad at you. I get it. You don't know me. But, it was just really funny, man. It's a, you know, thank you for the experience. I know to focus on getting in good at places that are very consistent with their shows. Like, places where people know... Oh, I'm going to this place to see a comedy show.
Right.
So people say in their minds, I want to see some stand-up comedy. Oh, I'll go here because that place is known for that. You know, like, that's the place to go and be like, hey, can I please perform here? Pretty please. I'll do a really good job. I'll try really hard. And if I don't do a great job, I'll come back next time and try twice as hard. You know, I'll learn from my mistakes and try some. So that's what I learned. God bless you.
Yeah, it's really like a athletic endeavor, you know, like, you're training, and you try to like perform properly when it's the moment is there, and it's no joke. It's very, very serious. Like I take my ridiculous dick joke act where I talk about like getting fucked in the ass and all this weird shit.
Dude, you
made myself look so fucking stupid.
Said the best joke. And it was fucked up because it was kind of like my joke, but it was very different at the same time. It was the same premise that God is an asshole.
Right.
But that God is fucked up for doing things the way he's done them, which I love. Like, obviously, we both think similarly. Like, we both think about how there's a God, but that's fucked up because
well,
the world is so
shitty. Well, it's people's interpretive.
Yeah.
People interpret God. Like, some like, pedophile wizard, the Pope, is like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, don't be gay or something.
Yeah.
And, like, we all have, a thing inside. We all have this thing inside our ass where, like, if it gets fucked really hard, it feels great. It's a prostate. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to design a man so he has, like, something in his ass that, like, feels great.
It
and then, like,
weird,
say,
dude,
don't be gay. Like, but it's, like, the you look at, like, the complexity of a palm tree, like how it bursts at the top and like all the DNA of that species and whatever, and this divine energy is supposed to care if like two dudes like rub each other's like fucking baby wands on each other. It makes no sense.
Well, you know, there's a
why
whole,
would they care?
But there's a whole thing in the occult that involves your asshole.
Yeah, it's the highest
way,
level.
It's, well, Aleister Crowley's fucking goofy ass, he made it the highest level because he was a fucking weird ass fucker.
he had a weird anal fixation. I'm not talking about a regular ass fucker, but like a fucking
he made a whole sex cult where like the top of the pyramid is like anal. Killing each other in the butt.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally real. And it's fucking because something about that energy that's in your butthole can be used to induce certain altered states. That's some real shit. You know what I mean? Like, you really can't do it. I'm not saying I've done it, but
is it the altered state of just like feeling massively uncomfortable?
Just saying, I think it's real.
From the pain,
pretty sure it's real. It doesn't have to hurt. Doesn't have to hurt.
Are you trying to convince me?
Not you. I convince you. I'm just saying it can be a very beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Fucking boom, boom. It can be very good. You have to be a gentleman about it. You have to, I like to squeeze the throat gently.
Right.
When I'm ass-fucking somebody. Because I feel like you don't want to be rough with your dick, so you need to be, like, show that sort of dominance in, like, other places, and that sort of, like, that completes the experience. Right. And makes the...
Because, like, cops say that, like, you should, like, ease it in. You know, like, the law says that. So then you have to, like, show your dominance in other ways.
Other ways, yeah.
It's, like, illegal.
And plus, the butthole is so tight, it's so hard not to jizz real fast, so you're not going to be going crazy anyway because it's, you know,
right.
It's hard to last very long.
Plus, you're like, oh, it's the dirty place.
Do you know what I'm going to do next time I have a crowd like that? This is what I decided. I'm just going to go up there and say the worst thing I can think of. I'm going to, like, that thing I just said about butt fucking, like, the correct way to fuck somebody in the ass. That's what I'm going to do next time I have a crowd like that. Is that the correct thing to do, more experienced comedian?
I'm just going to put on suspenders and be like, bombo the...
I'm serious. Is that a good idea? Like, just if you know the crowd's not, like, real responsive, to just do the worst thing you can do to try to get some kind of emotion out of them.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, oh, like, I'd rather that.
Violence.
Yeah. I'm going to save that fucking, because I can describe things very well. Like, I don't have a problem coming, like, describing. So, I could definitely invent a ass fuck bit. See, I see why you get tickets. See why you get tickets.
Okay, well, there's a left turn signal, but a no U-turn makes no sense.
You're right,
makes
it's no wrong. Sense.
Makes no sense. So I will disagree with your sign. There's so many signs. There's like, oh, don't take a left here. But there's like a left turning lane, and they're like, yeah, don't take a left here.
Right, right.
You know why? Well, so you go around the block, spend more oil, you know? Chevron probably put up all those no left turn signs, so people have to go around the block for no fucking reason, even though there's plenty of fucking space. To make your fucking left. No, you gotta go around. Go around. Just some fucking fat cop. Go around.
Damn, I wish I would've talked about anal fucking in front of those people now. Do you know what happened the other night too, at that other shitty one? I thought later when I was in bed, I was like, fuck, I should've really just gone after those people sitting there. I should've just been really mean to them. Like, that was my best bet.
What? At a different...
Yeah, it was another shitty four people. Four white people, once again. What was I going to say? Oh, no. So what I was saying earlier about, are you a Democrat, Republican, where you at? Because I find a lot of people who are a little left-leaning, like, not that it's a bad thing. It's a great thing to be whatever you are. But you hate the cops, but you don't necessarily realize why the cops are awful is because of... They're allowed to be. Like, the whole problem with our society... is it's based on having a group of murderers at the top of the power structure. Like, the government is allowed to kill people, steal from people, kidnap people. They're allowed to do the shit the rest of us can't do. Like, the government's allowed to violate rights. So when cops kill people, it's like, you understand that you're not allowed to disagree with a cop. You're not allowed to... resist the cop. You're not allowed.
And they're like the dumbest people.
Dude, they're not. The system's not set up for them to be very high quality. It's like teachers, you know. It's like the government. It's horrible what's going on with police and shit, obviously. But like, it's because we live in a system where we allow one group of people to kill people. Like, and I'm not saying to get rid of it tomorrow. We obviously need police on some level, but like, it's, that's why, because we live in a savage system where we have a daddy patriarch, a fucking daddy government, who is like, has to prevent us from raping and killing each other, because we're such savages as individuals. We're so, like, hateful that, like, we have to have these laws that tell us not to rape each other and not to fuck. Like, we have to, you know, it's fucked up that we need someone in society to have this power. It says, I'm going to beat you over the head with this club. You know, they did, I read this study the other day saying they did this survey of men. And it was something like 40% of men only don't rape because they'd go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like a huge, I know, I was thinking higher too. A huge percent of men would still rape if they could get away with it.
Well, that's why I look at like Muslim countries. Like, I got a friend from Dubai, and literally, like, if a woman, like, walks down the street without wearing her burqa, like, wearing lingerie, and she gets raped, they'd be like, yeah, that's about right. I don't, did you stone her to death after the raping?
Right.
You know what I mean? I think they're a little on the other side of the political spectrum there.
That's what I mean. Like, it's, and it's weird how we don't call out all violence. So this is what bugs me. Like, Obama, on the night he got elected, there was this, I saw it on PBS, there was this famous, like, executive order he signed, which was to drone strike Pakistan. And so, like, 5,000, a whole village died
right. The
night Obama got elected, when everybody was like, Obama! I remember South Park, oh, so awesome! And everybody was drinking and partying. And it's like, all the protests we have when somebody gets killed by a cop here.
Right.
But we kill a whole village over there, and nobody even blinks. Like, don't we understand that, like, it's killing? Like, it's the fact that we're just a savage race, and we're not making real efforts. Like, the fucking dumb scientist, atheist motherfuckers are pretending like they can subsist without some type of moral code that comes from, like, your thoughts and not just your body. Like, and then the religious people are not being reasonable about getting these messages across to, you know, the fucking common people. Like, they're happy to have their little niche, and they don't actually want to, like, save the world. Like, no, we're just savages, and we basically give away the right to kill to other people because we're so irresponsible. Like, I can't trust myself, dude. I need you to kill me if I do something wrong. I'm such a rapist. I'm such a fucking thief and a murderer inside myself that if you don't stop me from raping and murdering and stealing from everybody, I'm gonna. And that's what we do when we go vote. That's what we do when we pay taxes. That's what all this is.
Save me from myself.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why we have police violence, because we have state violence. If we're killing other people in other countries, of course we're going to be killing people here because we're fucking murderers.
Right.
So it's like all lives do matter. I don't mean it to, like, shit on the Black Lives thing, because I'm a big Malcolm X guy, and I've been into Black power and the civil rights movement since high school. And the number one thing that I figured out, it's like when Malcolm X realizes at the end of the book that it's not that white people are evil, it's that there's a fucking small group of people in the world who are basically fucking everything up. It's like, that's what it is. We don't like each other. We don't like ourselves. So, like I'm saying, we thieves, rapists, and murderers until, you know, that's all it is. So it's like, the police kill people because they're allowed to. That's all. That's it. So I'm like, that's my apolitical thing. And that's why I kind of hate Democrats more, because they're always talking about morality, like the right thing. And right now it's like all the PC shit and all, like, the, like, of course, I'm from New Orleans. I've been seeing gay festivals since I was, like, 8. This shit doesn't bother me. Like, other people's differences don't bother me. But don't sit there and pretend that if the government forces people to do things, that it's not going to get worse. Like, people hate each other, and I just don't buy a few people running shit in any scenario, whether it's capitalism or socialism or whatever.
Right.
I don't buy a few people having all this power.
I just think, like, with Jeb Bush or someone like this, or, like, with George Soros or any, and or Papa Bear Bush or any of the real, like, evilest people in the planet that are holding back all of humanity. Like, these people, it's like, I think that, it's like, if you get to the, if tomorrow, if you get a master's in feminism, right? I don't think that that's the triage of what's wrong. Like, you know, I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but like.
What do you mean?
Okay, so we live in a rogue nation. Like, our government now is not as bad as the Nazis, but very, very close.
It is close, dude.
Very, very close.
We are on some Nazi shit,
and if you look at the Patriot Act, like, that is exactly what Hitler passed, was the Patriot Act.
Oh.
Like, you don't have the right to a trial. You don't have the right to, we can just take you and imprison you forever. Like, that's Nazi shit for real. So, you know, now if you get and like our planet is dying, you know, Fukushima is just spraying a amount of radiation in the Pacific Ocean where it could like kill all the fish in the Pacific Ocean forever.
Right.
If you get your master's in feminism tomorrow, are you going to be like triaging? Like, are you attacking the things that actually matter? It's like, you know, like, there are mass murderers who have, like, corrupted our entire government, undercut freedom and liberty at every possible angle.
Yeah.
Right? Like, women can vote, women can get jobs, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that all the things are over as far as equal rights, but what I am saying is, like, our ocean is fucked and we're all gonna die, so maybe environmental science is, like, more important.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it also blows my mind that everywhere that Bush goes, he doesn't get punched in the face. Like, it blows my mind that people don't spit on him.
But, bro, the whole point
put
is...
Put a firecracker in his ass everywhere he goes. It makes no sense.
But it's the
Jon
Stewart thing, dude. If you... like, and I mean this with complete respect. If you're from the South, you would get this. It's the Jon Stewart attitude that makes people Republicans and shit. It's having this anti-group that just looks down on you for everything you do, like, and just this snarky, like, just, oh, I don't take ignorant opinions seriously. It's like, that is the thing that creates the division. So the Republicans play this villain outwardly, like Trump playing the villain outwardly. And then there's the self-righteous thing on the other side where you play the good guy. But what people who like Donald Trump always do is they say, oh, you know, well, Bernie Sanders, he says all these good things, but really, if you look close, you can find that it's evil. Right. So that's the whole shtick, is it's like the Republican thing is to be evil, obviously, and the fucking Democrat thing is to pretend to be good and then to subtly be evil. Like, that's...
So you'd rather just them go, I'm evil, I'm greedy.
No, I hate them all. I hate them all, but it's just my... Who do I personally
get annoyed by? At least
they're more
honest about being evil. And
yeah.
Democrats are like,
It's more like the snarky thing. Like we're in the South. We're all stupid. We don't know anything. Oh, you know the red states. You know the Bible Belt. Like,
right,
just
right.
This fucking attitude. Like, we're all dumb and don't know anything and shit. And it's like... It's not... That's what generates a lot of people being stupid Republicans. Like...
It's just fuck you.
It's just fuck you.
Saying I'm stupid because I live here.
Fucking what's his name? Mark Maron said it brilliantly one time. Like, that's the thing. Like, I love all kind of liberal and conservative shit. I generally like extreme people, you know, on one side or the other. Like, that really is how it is. Mark Maron said it best. He said, he was on Opie and Anthony, and they asked him why liberal talk radio doesn't do well and conservative talk radio does do very well, right? And he said it's because conservatives are always saying, fuck that guy, and liberals are always saying, we need help. And we need help doesn't sell like, fuck that guy.
Right.
Right? But that is what it is. Like, it's designed to be divisive to the point where it's like, you know, it's so... But nobody ever talks about the Federal Reserve. Nobody ever talks about the fact that we have a group of people who can kill us. You know, nobody questions these things. So that's why it stays.
Yeah, that's
the
thing. It's like, yeah, I would be down for Bernie Sanders, but he doesn't say, like, hey, he is good on, like, paying for college, but he's not good at, like, saying, hey, let's get rid of the Fed. let's do this and that. So let's like end all the wars tomorrow, and you know what I mean? Like he's kind of like wishy-washy on some issues that might get him shot.
Yeah.
But it's like if I think I would get murdered immediately if I tried to run for president. Like during the first debate, I would catch a fucking lead.
I'm gonna tell you right now, my whole thing with the presidency, just to wrap up, because you're pulling up in my house.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
Now. The whole thing with Trump is, I saw this clip that Trump before yes, I was watching Donald Trump highlights from the debate. I don't give a fuck, okay? That shit is entertaining. He literally said, all these other candidates, he said, when I was rich, I used to pay politicians to do what I wanted them to do. And now that I'm a politician, I'm not letting anyone pay me to do what they think I should do. So he said everybody else on this stage is getting paid by other right. people, so they're all beholden to lobbyists. He actually said the truth, that all these motherfuckers are basically empty suits. They're getting paid to... So here's the deception with Trump. Is that real, or is he just the next Obama? Like, is he just the thing to convince us it's real that isn't also? That's like... Bush 1, Bush 2, Bush W did Patriot Act. What Obama do? Patriot Act 2, right? Guy appears to be the opposite, but he basically does a sequel of the same evil. Yeah. So it's kind of the same guy.
Right.
So is Trump the next Obama? Is he the thing they're trying to make you think, oh, this is totally different than what we've been doing. He's a staunch conservative capitalist, which he's never actually been that fucking conservative his whole life. It's really right. funny. But... is he really serious about he's not beholden to anyone but himself? Or is that an illusion?
I think it's an illusion. I'll tell you why.
I think so too, yeah.
Here's why. Because it's like, oh, I'm not... I used to pay politicians to do what I wanted them to do. Now I'm just going to directly be the politician. So I think it's just like, instead of the banker paying the politician to do his work, he's just going to be the evil banker that is the politician.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not better.
It's not really better.
That's not better. It's like, what? We need some peanut farmers or something. Yeah. Like, we need some, like, regular motherfuckers. It's not, oh, instead of signing the checks, now, you know, I like blabbing on camera too much, so I'm just going to fucking do that direct.
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference?
I don't know, man. See, that's the only thing, but you know, that's why people believe in him. Like, fuck right. what you think, it really is that, and that's real. Like, I hate to say it, but because I'm really not partial, like, I really do give people fucking credit. Like, I'm not trying to be support one side of things ever. It's not that way. But if that's real, that he's not beholden and he's going to do, like, if he's serious about making all the hedge fund motherfuckers pay a bunch of taxes and shit and, like, charging the rich out the ass and shit, he's going to get killed. He's going to get shot. Like, if he's real, he's going to get murdered. Yeah. If he's the only... If he lives and he wins, he's a fucking fake and he's selling out. That's it.
That's the only barometer of whether or not you're a good president if someone tries to shoot you.
It really
Lincoln,
is.
Best ever. JFK, best ever. There's no other way to look at it.
You Actually, know? I read today that all the presidents who tried to end the Fed either got killed or almost or got attempted. All right, man. Well, thanks for this
experience. It's been another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diary in the Bag. Thanks to my guest, C-Free. This has been episode 137.
Eat a dick.
Later,
C-Free, motherfuckers. C-Free, the rapper.com.
All right, later. Oh, I